Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're winning two tickets to see the Washington Capitals on Halloween Friday night. Coming up in a couple of days against New York, it's the Hockey Halloween presented by Duncan over at Cap One Arena. Spooky vibes take over Capital One. For tickets and the complete Cap schedule, go to thefandc.com/events. We've got the Blitz coming up in moments. We're brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murat.
Exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Murat. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Let's kick off the Beltway Blitz. We'll spin you around the NFL with Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports. Frank, I want to start locally. Terry McLaurin out again for the Commanders. This nightmare season for their seventh-year wide receiver continuing. What do you make of the news of the day that they're going to be out without their wide receiver one going into this showdown with Seattle with their season on the line?
It's tough. It's just everything that went right for the Commanders last season is swung the other way. You knew some regression was coming. You can't win, you know, all your games by Hail Marys and with 7 seconds left and whatnot. But this has just been it's just been so tough for Washington all season. I feel for them. There should have been some momentum from last season. It should have been another fun season for Washington fans, and it just hasn't been. There are Jaden's injuries and Terry's injuries and other injuries, and the defense kind of folding a little bit. Really, really tough. It's going to be tough for Washington to even stay in the playoff race. This game against Seattle is a rough one. I mean, Seattle's a very, very good football team. I know the Commanders will fight, they'll battle, they'll give what they got, but they're undermanned against a really, really good Seattle team this week.
Yeah, quantify this for us. How good is this Seattle team? Where do you think they finish in that crowded NFC West?
I think they win the NFC West, to be honest. And I know that's saying a lot. I have a lot of respect for the Rams. I like the Rams. I think San Francisco's defense is just too injured. I think they're going to fall by the wayside. But Seattle, the defense is tremendous. Everybody kind of said last year, hey, give Mike McDonald a year. Hey, his schemes are complicated. It's going to take a little bit of time. Well, we're seeing that now. Hey, their defense is tremendous. I think they can run the ball really, really well. JSN is one of the best receivers in football. And I think the under-talked-about part of this team is the quarterback who went 14-3 on a different team last year is now 5-2 on his new team. Well, that 14-3 team has slumped pretty badly. Sam Darnold, he's just kind of legit. He's a good quarterback. I'm not saying he's an MVP candidate or anything, but Sam Darnold is pretty good too. So I don't see there being a lot of weaknesses with the Seattle team. I really think this is a high-quality football team that, again, I think they're going to win that division.
In the NFC East, seems like whatever was going on with the Eagles, they've gotten over. They're the Chiefs of the NFC, where those problems seem to go away and they're just inevitable. 6-2, do you think they coast to that division title?
Yeah, they almost have to. Who's going to beat them? I mean, the only team, I mean, if the Commanders could somehow win this week and get healthy, maybe they can make a run, but I'm not anticipating that necessarily. I think the Cowboys' defense stinks. Like, that's not breaking news. I know that. Like, everybody knows Cowboys' defense is it was so funny to me last week when people were like, oh, maybe the Cowboys are a contender. A contender for what? To finish 500? Like, that defense is miserable. I never got that. So, yeah, and Philly, look, Philly's issues were always overstated because it's Philly. Anything that happens with the Eagles, too much is made out of it. It's still the deepest, most talented roster in the NFL. It's still a team that won a Super Bowl last year. It's still a team that was 6-2 right now. We kind of lose sight of that. Yes, they had their issues, not being able to pass it that well, and the cornerback depth and all this kind of stuff, but it's still a fantastic football team that's going to finish like 14-3 or something like that. You know, 13-4. If they can get Saquon Barkley going too, it might be closer to 14-3 because that's kind of the one missing piece, and that started to come alive. We'll see if he's healthy, but yeah, the Eagles are totally fine. The reports of their demise were seriously overblown.
What's the ceiling for the Colts?
I don't know. That's a great question because I've said this all along, that if we get rid of priors, what we thought about Daniel Jones or the Colts roster or anything like that, if you just drop somebody in on week one, NFL Sunday, where you're just going to watch games and that's all you're going to watch, by now that person would be saying, yeah, Colts, of course the Colts are the best team of football. That it's almost undeniable. They have played better than anybody in the NFL. But because it's Daniel Jones, because the Colts don't have a lot of ready-made superstars, especially on defense, we're kind of like, I guess. Do we really see the Colts winning a Super Bowl? I feel bad that I'm not just sitting here telling you that, yes, the Colts are a Super Bowl team, because their results have been pretty much perfect. They should have a 8-0 record right now if Adonai Mitchell doesn't drop the ball before scoring, or they have 11 guys on the field instead of 10 for an 88-yard touchdown by the Rams. They've beat good teams. They've blown out bad teams. I feel bad saying I don't think they can make a Super Bowl because the results say otherwise. But, yeah, I just don't see this being a Super Bowl team. And it'll be interesting to track it. We'll see. I think Jonathan Taylor should be MVP right now. I think Shane Steichen is probably coach of the year right now. They have played like the best team in football, but yet there is that part of me and many other people that's just saying, really, the Colts? Really? Are we picking the Colts over the Chiefs? Are we picking the Colts over the Bills? I can't get there with them yet.
Frank, thank you. Good info.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thanks, love having you on. There's Frank Schwab of Yahoo. Check out his work there. Let's localize football discussions. Nikki Javala covers the Commanders for The Athletic. Nikki, we have been on this big news of the afternoon here for the last hour or so. Terry McLaurin already ruled out against Seattle. What can you tell us?
Yeah, he re-injured his quad. Dan Quinn believes it was on that 25-yard catch down the sideline that was reversed upon replay. Terry, after the game, said he wasn't quite sure, but he didn't come back in after that play. Their trainers were tending to him on the sideline, and then he kind of stayed there for the rest of the game. So Quinn doesn't anticipate it being a long-term thing, but he'll see how he is next week and go from there.
The ruling him out today always gives me the pause. They did that with Jaden last week. Mm-hmm. Now, he's full practice all week, it sounds like, and he's going to play. But what is the difference between some of these times where they've decided to do like the dog and pony show where you guys ask about it every day for a week versus just coming right out on a Wednesday? And how do they make that decision?
Yeah, it's a good question. I wish I knew. I think some of them, you know, it's so close they want to take it up to the 11th hour and then decide. I think part of it, too, is gamesmanship. You know, they don't have to truly announce who they're going to, you know, start or sit or whatever up until 4 p.m. the day before. It's a little different for Monday games. And then they don't have to declare an active until 90 minutes before. So if they really have a guy who's on the edge and they want to, you know, keep the other team guessing, they can do it that way. But I think for the most part, they know opposing teams can kind of see through the BS and know what's going on. But yeah, I think it really just depends on how far along a guy is. And, you know, if he's not going to be out there all week, then, you know, it's it's a dead giveaway that he may not play. Although Deron did it and did play, so.
Nikki, you're out there every day, and you cover this team, obviously, incredibly closely. Well, of course, we'll start with the caveat. Nobody has any idea if Terry McLaurin would have been hurt if he'd done everything he normally does, which go to OTAs and lead up training camp, play the preseason, and everything else. But the fact is, we have a correlation, right? He didn't do those things, and now he's hurt. It's aggravated, and he wasn't off to a great start before he got injured. What have folks around the team said about that? It's easy for me in my chair, just as a pudgy zilch, you know, throwing stuff at the TV, going, "I wish you would have practiced." But you know, what's kind of on the ground there? What have folks kind of said about that? And it's just, is it a shoulder shrug, or is it, yeah, it would have been nice if he was able to be there for everything?
Well, I mean, I think they all would have loved to have had him out there at practice. I think for the most part, they've said publicly that they understand that this was a business decision for him, and it. Truth of the matter is, like, there'll always be speculation, but it's impossible to make a direct correlation because of, you know, there's so many variables at play. You know, how he injured it, you know, was it just random play in the circumstance? I mean, you know, there are so many players that hold out, never have an injury. There are many that do hold out and do face an injury. What we do know is the rate of injuries when you miss all of preseason. They did a study during the COVID year that many guys suffered injuries in the first 4 weeks because those first 4 weeks were essentially their preseason. Well, that makes sense until you think about how many starters sit out all of preseason anyway. So it does make you wonder. I've wondered it. I'm sure every other fan has wondered it. I asked him about it last week as he was coming back. You know, if that was ever a consideration, did he ever worry about, you know, possibly dealing with an early season injury by holding on? He said no, because he felt really good when he came back. But he cited then that, you know, the real issue, the real challenge was having two games quickly, because they had the Sunday opener and then they had a Thursday night game in Green Bay. So to have less than 2 weeks of practice of ramp up and then do two games is difficult. This time around would have been similar to have a Monday and then a Sunday, not quite as short, but similar. But it's tough with those soft tissue injuries. It's tough.
Nikki Javala, senior writer for The Athletic. Check out her piece on the Commanders at the NFL trade deadline. Should they buy, sell, or stand pat? There's all kinds of other Commanders coverage that you can check out of Nikki's at The Athletic. Before we let you go really quickly, I'm curious just about the injuries overall. You had a really good thread on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Where you posted all the man games they've missed. I mean, it's one of those where, like, if you could, if you're Dan Quinn, you'd just yell uncle and kind of start with next season, I guess. But is this just a correction from last year where they were mostly healthy? I'm not trying to give them the out and the excuse of what are you supposed to do, but an excuse is an explanation. Like, this is one of those years where it might not be the whole problem, but it's certainly the biggest problem. They just can't keep anybody healthy.
Yeah, no, it's an issue. And, you know, they'll always say publicly, you can never use it as an excuse. But, I mean, I will. Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, the thing is, last year, everything went right for them. Everything. I mean, they won how many games on the last play from scrimmage? You know, they were relatively healthy throughout the season. Even when Jaden got hurt in those two games, I mean, Marcus Mariota steps in and closes out a blowout win and then throws a game winner to Terry for a record touchdown, right? Like, it was an insane year. I think what we're seeing this year is everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And it's, you know, I think this may be a little closer to who they truly were last season. I think winning can mask a lot of deficiencies. So you're starting to see some of the roster holes that they still had last year that they're still trying to fill. So I think when Adam Peters and Dan Quinn talked about, you know, patience in the rebuilding process, this is part of it. Like, you're going to see some of these holes exposed, and they're still working to fulfill those. So, yeah, it's a weird extreme going from last year to this year.
Nikki, awesome as always. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Well, we will talk to you soon. There's Nikki Javala. Let's talk Wizards, please.
We got ourselves a little treat here, Danny, on the Beltway Blitz to talk about the Wizards. We've got their young star, Keshawn George, who's averaging over 20 points per game on the young season on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Keshawn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing very well. I know it's early, right? You got to be really thrilled with what you're putting on tape and the performances you've strung together at this point through these first handful of games.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working out the whole summer here in D.C., so I was excited to get back on the court and compete against different types of people. And, yeah, just stepping into a role as a leader and also learning a lot. And, yeah, just pretty good start, and now we're looking forward to what's next and the wins to come.
20 or more points in 4 of 5 games so far for Keshawn George, who's with us here on Grant and Danny. When you talk about your offseason, what were the things that you emphasized, and what was the program that you put together? Where are you most improved, do you think?
I think just my overall confidence in dribbling the ball and getting into the paint and making something happen for myself or my teammates. Just being super aggressive that way and beating players off the dribble or cutting and just getting into the paint and causing havoc.
Was that something that you realized last season at some point and that you needed to add to your game? Was that just based on how things were going for you or what you saw as a spectator watching the rest of the sport?
Yeah, I mean, last season I think I was getting to the paint, and then once I get there, I didn't really necessarily know what to do. Like, I didn't have the reps. I didn't have the confidence in my ball handling to know exactly what to do. So I think with the work I put in this offseason is really just being poised and getting in the paint and making the right decision.
Keshawn George's numbers skyrocketing here early, 5 games in, averaged about 9 points per game last year, up to 20 points per game early this season. Another big jump has been in the rebounding area, where you've doubled up your rebounding totals from 4 to 9, also gone from 2.5 assists to 4 assists. How about the rebounding part of your game, though? What do you attribute to some of the big numbers early this season?
I think just being more active, knowing that we're not necessarily the biggest team in the league, so knowing that we need people to rebound, so I take part in that. And also knowing the game, like knowing who's going to shoot the ball, when it's going to get shot, and putting myself in position where the ball just lands in my hands and I get just start the offense.
There's expectations outside the building for this team that I'm sure are different than how you guys feel internally. But you had the huge win against Dallas. You get out to some early fast starts, including against Philly last night. I mean, what are the internal thoughts? Like, how will you guys define success this year as a young group trying to find some wins?
I think generally the effort that we put in and how we compete, I think we could all see that, for example, the games. The second half against Charlotte, we didn't necessarily compete as we wanted to. So just making sure we stick to ourselves and we keep depositing what it means to be a Wizard and just earn people's respect that way.
What's the biggest difference between the stretches like you referenced, you know, the half against Charlotte or maybe the fourth quarter against Philly or whatever it is, like where things are going well defensively, you guys are clamping people versus when they're pouring buckets in and you're struggling? What's the biggest discrepancy there?
I think it's our defense, how connected we are defensively, how locked in we are as a group. We're always going to have some individuals. There's going to be some mistakes, but in general, it's how we respond as a team, how we get together, and how we make sure we string together as good possessions and good stops for the game.
Keshawn George is with us on Grant and Danny talking Wiz. He was the 24th pick in the draft last year in round one, and now in his sophomore year at 21 years old, the 6'8", 200-pound young star is breaking out for Washington. Do you feel like what we're seeing from you in these first 5 games is sustainable, replicable? Is this kind of what you think you can be, or is there still another gear that you feel like you can find? What do you view yourself as long-term?
Oh, 100%. I think it's replicable, and I think I have another gear to my game. I think it's the first year I really start creating for myself and for others. And I think it's only going to get better in the future. So I have way more expectations for myself.
In the Dallas game, you were 7 of 9 from deep against Philly last night. I think you had 4 of 7 three-pointers. Early this season, that's been a huge part of your game. And you guys are shooting a ton of threes as a team. Tell me about that philosophy and just the shift in the NBA to that paradigm where, you know, everybody seems to be doing that. But also, it was a big element of your game on draft night. We heard you were going to be able to play D, knock down threes, and just how much you've improved even as a shooter this year.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a shooter my whole life. I was a short point guard, and I spent my time, most of my time behind the arc. And as I grew, I just kept that ability. And adding the size, it just makes it easier. And nowadays, like you said, the NBA is a lot three-point driven. So to have that skill in your package is very important. So just me staying consistent with my work, my reps, and just being comfortable with shooting a three every time I see Kevin.
If you challenge Trey Johnson to a three-point contest or a shooting contest, who's winning?
Me, no question.
Would he say the same?
No question. Probably not. I mean, maybe he'll say himself, but he's a little delusional. You know how these young kids get.
That's true. These rookies, I mean, you're 21. You're a veteran now, right? These kids. They can be a little bit crazy.
Yeah.
Our guest is Keyshawn George on Grant and Danny. All right, before I let you go, I'm going to go rapid fire here to get to know you a little bit. Cheat meal. You get to eat whatever you want. What are you eating?
Rice and peas, oxtail, and plantain.
Oh, wow. How about if you are going out to dinner with one of your teammates, who are you generally rolling with on the road?
Alexander Bilal Koulibaly.
Okay, you guys roll three deep. I like that.
And Anthony Gill as well.
Now, he better pick up the tab. The old man's been in the league a long time. How about superhero? Favorite superhero?
I think mine used to be Hulk, but with time, I would say Iron Man.
I like that. Last TV show you binged?
What was it? I didn't binge it, but I watched Severance.
Okay, cool. It's a good show. Hey, Keyshawn, great start to the year, man. Keep it up. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
Very, very good young player for the Wizards, Keyshawn George on Grant and Danny. News of the day, as you now know, Terry McLaurin will not play against Seattle. This will be the fifth game out of nine that he has missed. He re-aggravated the quad injury that kept him out for a month. Can he still salvage his season? Do you think we can get to the end of this year and look back a half season from now and feel like it was a speed bump, but he ended up becoming Terry McLaurin? We'll get into that next on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
So here's a bummer for you, Danny. I don't know if you've got nearly as much experience at this place as your boy, because it was a staple for me for a couple of years. Are you familiar with Woodmont Grill in Bethesda?
Yes. I know Woodmont Grill. I saw, what was the guy's name that I saw there? John King from CNN. I saw that guy there.
Eating dinner?
Yeah.
That's actually great. Was he at the big board telling about some random house at some random county on some random street?
He was not.
To determine the election.
Although he was pointing at the menu, which I thought was hysterical. That's and my good. Wife did not think it was that funny, but I'm like, look, he's like, could I do this? And then can I also have this? But can I substitute this? I go, look, he's doing it. She's like, could you just talk to me?
Bethesda's Woodmont Grill abruptly closed today. It's been a big story in the DMV.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Nobody knew it was happening. Reading from Bethesda Today, after more than three decades of serving customers, a post late Tuesday night on Woodmont Grill's website announced its closure effective immediately without explanation. The restaurant, located in Bethesda on Woodmont Ave, was owned by the Hillstone Restaurant Group and, according to the Woodmont Grill Instagram account, has been in operation since 1992. The note on the website thanked patrons for choosing us as a dining destination, allowing us to be part of your lives with many fond memories of good food and cheer. The amount of times I sat at that bar.
Yeah, that's a home court for you in Bethesda. So yeah.
When I was doing post for the Caps for like three or four seasons, I would be over there for 82 games, right? And so we were there all the time, and I would either go to Black's or Woodmont. Each night I was eating healthy. It was EMP, now Copair Paulson. And so I would get like a pork chop or some Brussels sprouts or asparagus or whatever. But my kind of cheat at Woodmont, they had the best ribeye ever. And I would crush a ribeye with a vegetable or something. But damn, it was so good. And I would sit right at the bar. They would always have jazz music being played in the winter. It was beautifully decorated. Just a really nice little restaurant. A lot of good memories in that joint. But not only does it close, that's a big deal. But when you hear that something closed abruptly.
The abruptness of it.
That's always weirder. But that's sad. I hate hearing that.
Yeah, that is a bummer. That's an institution, man. I think I probably went there a dozen times.
I think it was called, this is before my time, but I think it was called Houston's way, way, way back when. Pretty sure that was the location. Could be wrong about that. Somebody tweet me or hit me up on Instagram at Grant H. Paulson if I'm wrong about that. But for our Maryland folks in Bethesda, for the people in Bethesda.
Bethesda.
You know, Bethesda, Maryland.
If you're from.
Anybody from Bethesda.
From Bethesda.
There it is.
The good thing is how quickly Darris got to that. We didn't have to stall or anything. He was on it, and for that, we greatly appreciate that.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the guy who ruined my NFL Sunday that everyone pretended like was good, right? That's him. Yeah, that's him.
From Bethesda!
It's the same dude?
Yeah, Eric Collins. Probably great in the NBA when you just scream after a three-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, but it's a first quarter shot for a 55-loss Hornets team. Like, LaMelo! Wow!
He did.
Come on, dude. Come on, dude.
He did a Panthers-Dolphins game. And I'm telling you, it was rough for your guy. Because it would just be like, 3rd and 7, Bryce, yeah! And he's just yelling. But that's not the bad part. The bad part's not that he's doing it. God bless him. He also has acknowledged that he has not like watched another broadcaster do a game for decades.
Okay.
He just refuses to like watch sports with the volume on. Mm-hmm. So in fairness, he probably doesn't know what it's supposed to sound like, to his credit.
It's like the guy that practices the instrument by himself and is like, okay, I'm part of the orchestra today.
You're going to play the compilation? Oh, gosh. Do I need to take my headphones off? But anyway, yeah, we'll play it in a second. But it was just brutal. But the problem is not that he's doing it. Again, broadcaster, have fun, explore the space. Someone hired you. Go make your money. It's afterwards everyone telling me how great it is because it's different and it's loud and it's obnoxious and it's excitable. And when I was 14, I thought Gus Johnson was cool too, but this is like, Gus Johnson had some, there was better stuff there. There was more meat on the bone. But anyway, this was the game.
Tagovailoa has Waddle! He's open! Touchdown! And Donald, look at him! What kind of speed you get, young man?
This is looping now. Right?
Young!
This is
caught! It's Horn! Bryce Young! Get his man! Touchdown!
The Dowdle in the middle there. I don't know why his Dowdle sounded so funny to me. Dowdle! Dowdle!
Well, he screamed it. It was
And why did he sing Xavier Leggett's name on that touchdown?
Xavier Leggett! It's like he's doing jazz hands.
It's, but again, afterwards, it's like, we need more of him. Do we? Can't wait for him to call the Super Bowl. I can. That's the part that ricks me, is like the overdoing it after. The game, great. We'll put him on Dolphins, Panthers, and you know, let's have.
Make an unexciting game more exciting.
Yeah, go for it. It's the, like, everyone's acting like all of a sudden Ian Eagle calling the game correctly is just not exciting enough. Just call the game.
Let's go.
How did we get here from Woodmont Grill?
It's from Bethesda.
Yeah.
And so that the from Bethesda comes from LaMelo Ball hitting a shot from behind the 3-point line against the Wizards in the first quarter of a game.
And by the way, I think the bit is great. The bit he does where he's like looking up a suburb in a city every time he goes to a new place and he calls that play. That's great. Love that. The screaming of it in that moment probably works too. I don't know what the game's situation is, but in the right game situation, I can just tell you, having watched the Panthers Dolphins game, the screaming did not match the situation.
I gotta have a change of speeds.
Rico Dowdle rips off a 14-yard run where he breaks a tackle in the second quarter, the 10-7 game, and it's now 1st and 10. Dowdle! Nope.
So when Steve Buckhantz calls dagger, that's a buzzer beater. See what I'm saying? When Gilbert Arenas hits that shot over Gennaro Pargo and company in Chicago, and he gives me the dagger, because thank you, Steve. Miss you, buddy. Yes. Because that's time appropriate.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? When Gus Johnson goes up to full Gus Johnson to 11, it's, you know, Morrison at the buzzer. Again, first quarter, LaMelo hits a three. Very nice shot. Good play by LaMelo Ball. That guy's a really nice player. I gotta make sure it's not game seven in the ninth inning for the punch out. We're not doing the that's what gets me.
Well, so that's the whole thing, is if you're in the broadcast game, is they talk about don't game seven it, and you got to have somewhere to go. That's what it's referred to as. Like, if that's where you're at in the first quarter, where are you going in the fourth quarter? Now, he's got nowhere to go. He's just giving you more of it.
Sure.
And it's going to match in the fourth quarter.
That engine's in the red in the first quarter.
He is a reliever who's starting a game and just chucking 101 in the first inning.
I still laugh. It comes up my Instagram feed every once in a while. They're these two Australian brothers that basically just lip sync to sports calls. And some of them are funny, some of them whatever. They got that guy where there's a montage of him, and it's wildly funny. I've seen it 15 times. I've laughed 15 times.
Well, the best is the dude, I don't know his name, Darius and I for a while would just send
He's got the headset on. He's like this, very demonstrative.
Yeah.
That guy, I know him.
Darius and I would send this clips back and forth to each other. And he, for those of you that don't know, he is this guy that wears a headset, as Danny was saying, and basically like reenacts and voices the broadcaster screaming whatever's happening. He picks the funniest clips where people are going the most wild. And it's really, really good Instagram fodder. It's a good time. All right, let's get back into the Terry McLaurin news, though. Here's the question I want to pose on the phones. We'll hit them next. 800-636-1067. Can he still salvage this season? Do you think there's a path to getting to the end of this year and viewing this as kind of a disastrous first half? But look what he did over the second half. He was Terry. After what you saw on Monday night, he looked the part, made a couple of great catches. Could he still save this season from being a true debacle? Get to that next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Terry McLaurin has been ruled out for Sunday Night Football against Seattle. And it's very rare with this staff that they've done this early on a Wednesday. Not sure what that means exactly. They say he re-injured his quad. Is it re-aggravated? Is the same injury happen again that cost him a month? We don't have a whole lot of information. We just know he's not going to play for the fifth time in 9 games this season. The question I want to pose at 800-636-1067 is, can he still save his year from disaster, or is it too late? Is the die cast here? Let's go to Kevin in Alexandria on the Fan. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
What's up, Kev?
Hey, gentlemen. And Grant, good call on Blacks. I've been there multiple times. Their mussels as well as their chocolate fudge dessert is phenomenal.
Blacks is awesome.
That, you know, the whole restaurant group is there? Fantastic.
Pork chop. Their fantastic. Pork chop is a 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you all do a great job. I didn't want to talk about McLaurin. I did want to share something. There was an article written, I want to say, at the beginning of the year, and it talked about how they rolled out Jaden Daniels 600 times compared to the closest other team, which was maybe 175 or 200, and he said it wasn't sustainable. And so we're all looking for answers to try to figure out why this season looks so different. They've asked, and I think this goes to Kingsbury, they've asked our quarterback, who's young, to learn a total different offense now by not rolling out. They've gone from 0 to 60 and then pulled him back. They rolled him out 600 times last year, and now they've really limited what he's doing. And so he's kind of learning on the job right now, and he's young, and I believe this is coaching, and it has to do with what they're doing in terms of their game plan and strategy. You know, it's not sustainable, but you can see the difference in how he approaches the offense. He looks kind of timid because – he was running around before, and the closest other team they compared to was like 175 times. That's what I wanted to share with the point I wanted to make.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, you know, you wonder how much of that is compensating for, you know, personnel that groupings that change all the time. You don't have your full healthy complement, you know, for what defenses are doing to you. I mean, it's the whole thing is a work in progress at all times. I mean, I always think of it in terms of a major league hitter, right? You go around the league once, or, you know, you have a handful of weeks where you're tearing the cover off the ball. Well, there are people who are quite literally employed to figure out where your weaknesses are. And then they figure it out. And then the way you get pitch changed. So where you were used to seeing fastballs away, now you're seeing something different. What do you do about it? You adjust to the adjustment. Then you make that adjustment. Then there's another round of adjustments coming. People get tape on you, man. Game film is available. That all 22 is, it's not a spy secret anymore, right? So you always kind of wonder what the plan is and what you're trying to do on a given play. And, you know, what look did you anticipate versus what you actually got in terms of, you know, how a play gets run, et cetera. But, I mean, the bottom line is to kind of center it back on McLaurin, not having a huge difference maker like that, whether you want to argue he's the second most important behind Debo or the most because maybe he could go down the field a little bit, I think is a huge issue, and that would be true for any quarterback.
Well, also, Debo has not looked the same in his last two games. And really, that's in the Bears game, namely. But I didn't think Debo looked in this game like he did early in the season. Is he 100% or not? Not sure. I don't know how to quantify that. They're not going to do it for us because there's no benefit to them doing that. But he was healthy enough to play. Admirable. Appreciate that. Caught three balls, but everything was around the line of scrimmage. No yards. No real yak yards. His only carry went for 1 yard. It was like a, you know, half of a yard, and he got credited for one-on-one attempt. But he's not a speed guy. He's not an explosion guy necessarily anyway. He is a physical, violent player. But it feels to me, Bears game, Chiefs game, sandwiched in between was a DNP against the Cowboys. Like, those are in their own category, yeah. And the rest of the season was in a different category. So getting him back is cool, but we said this about McLaurin, right? It's not just about getting these guys back. You're getting them back, and they've got to stay back, number one. They've got to stay healthy. Didn't work with Terry. And they've got to be themselves. They've got to produce. It doesn't always work that way. You return, and Debo goes 7 for 75, or McLaurin goes 5 for 90. Like, that was not a lock. But I'm going to pose the question to you that I'm posing on the listener lines, which is, do you think Terry can still save this season from being a disaster when we look back, or is it too late? I mean, personally for him, not right. For the team.
I'll tell you, I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, the window.
But there's enough time that you think if he comes back next week against Detroit, and in the final 8 games of the year, he goes for 700 yards or something like that, you could come out of this season and say, all right, it was a brutal start, but we're back. Terry's back.
Because you're talking down the stretch, he's making plays, and the latest sample will be the best sample. And people go, yeah, okay, that's long forgotten, right? We'll forget really about the first 8, 9, 10 games or whatever if he plays well in the last few. But I think that window is closing. I mean, seriously, this is now a race against the clock in terms of when he's able to come back to actually be himself for more than one game at a time. Because he did Terry stuff this past week. It's not all Terry stuff, but you saw some of it. The toe tap for the touchdown, the diving catch on the sideline that was their biggest play of the day. You saw some of the things that he can do for this offense. Catch the middle of the field for 18 yards to get him out of the shadow of the goal line. He did some Terry things, but it's not the full turned up to 11 Terry McLaurin. But the window, I keep saying it, is closing for that. Just think about the amount of time it's going to take. Let's say he's not playing this week, obviously. If he's ruled out this early, it would stand to reason he can't play next week. So what are you really talking about, right? For him to come back, be himself, hopefully not rush back so you don't re-injure and re-aggravate this thing, you're really talking about, what, 5 games, 6 games at most where he could be himself? And I would say it's even less than that. So if he doesn't play this week and next week, it's pretty much got to be no re-aggravation, no problems, and he's, you know, has an unbelievable stretch run there in November, December, and they win 4 division games somehow, some way, and sneak into the playoffs, and he'll be the returning conquering hero.
Yeah, so for me, I'm not nearly as comfortable saying he probably won't play next week because I don't know that there's any correlation between ruling him out today and not playing next week.
You're right. I'm inferring that.
They ruled Jaden Daniels out on Wednesday last week. We assumed it meant he might have a hard time getting healthy for this week, and he's already full practice today, and they said he's going to be full practice all week. So barring some type of new injury, he will absolutely play against Seattle, which is significant and a big deal, and maybe would have been the lead from a health standpoint today if not for the Terry news. So I'm going to say he misses this game and assume, hopefully, that he's back next week. Here's the problem. A week ago, I would have told you, I think there's a real chance that Terry McLaurin has an awesome second half. Now, after he comes back and immediately gets hurt, I don't feel like that anymore. But here's this will be the best way to ask the question, and we'll hit this next. So in his career, Terry McLaurin has averaged about 65 yards per game, okay? So follow me for a second.
Yep.
In his career, he's got 6,600 yards almost in 101 career starts. So if I just do quick math, and he plays at a career norm level, 65 yards over his final eight games, that gets you down the stretch to 520 yards. So if I set his over-under at 499.5 over the last eight games, would you go over or under that?
Under.
All right, we'll talk about that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.